I don't know about y'all, but that was awesome. Praise and worship, man. Amen. We're going to talk about loving your neighbors tonight, and I just want to recap a little bit of where we were last week. Butch preached a tremendous message to us, and it all stems from chapter 5 and verse 20, where Jesus is telling the Pharisees and the scribes that their righteousness must exceed the Pharisees and the scribes. In other words, if we're followers of Christ, it's got to exceed more than that for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. And tonight, we're going to be in chapter 5 in Matthew, in verses 43 to 48. 43 to 48, you can go on and turn there. But one of the things that he said in Matthew 5, 20, he says, "For I say unto you, unless the righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will be by no means to enter the kingdom of heaven." And last week, the title was to risk certain things, and it went into the physical, risking the physical to win people to the Lord, and economically, and our finances, and it went on even to go on there to our schedules, that, you know, to give up our schedule time to win people to the Lord. But today, it's a little bit different. It's the same challenge, but this time, it's to challenge us to love those that hate us, to love our enemies. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And before we go there, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just thank you so much tonight that, Father, you're so worthy to be honored and praised. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that for that I cannot buy, that I cannot earn. I just ask for a double portion tonight, Father, to proclaim your word, Father. And Father, open up our hearts and our minds, Father, to your word. That, Father, we hear from you tonight, Lord, that we would not harden our hearts, Father. That we would make things right, Lord. By you and by men, I just pray, Father, that you would move, that your Holy Spirit would move tonight. We just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight's title is Loving by God's Standards. Loving by God's Standards. And the thing is this, is that loving by God's standards is that we all have a mindset of how to love and what the Bible says, but sometimes we fall into the same place where the Old Testament people had. They had the law in Leviticus 19:18, and it said the same things. Love your neighbor as yourself. But they took it a step further. They said, well, if we can just love our neighbors as ourselves, then I guess we hate our enemies. Because they wanted to justify. They say, you know, I don't like that person. I don't like what they're doing. So therefore, they're my enemies. I'm going to hate them. And there's nowhere in the Bible does it say to hate your enemy. It's not saying that. But they just added on to justify the people that they only wanted to love and the people they wanted to hate. And the Word of God tonight tells us that to love our enemies. And they did that in Leviticus. And they went on there and they went there, and the thing I want to say tonight is that, you know what, loving by God's standards, it's gonna compel us to love as Christ. And Christ loved unconditionally. He loved with sacrifice. He denied himself. He went to the cross for you and me, even when we were yet his enemies, the Bible says. Even yet when we weren't right, he went to the cross for you and me. And I tell you, as followers of Jesus Christ, God is calling you, each and every one of you, to love as he did, to love your neighbor, to love your enemies. That's not me saying, it's the word of God. God is calling us. How radical is that? I mean, can you imagine how radical is that to love our enemies? Because our natural response is to hate them. Our natural response is, somebody hits me, I'm going to hit them back. If somebody curses me, God forbid, you don't curse them back. But the thing is that old enemy wants to jump out of there, man, and don't take that, you know? And it's in there. And God says, hey, you're of a new nature. And the thing is that he deals with this, that, you know what, we need to. And that would be so radical that it would change our society. It would change so many things in this world. There wouldn't be no hunger. There wouldn't be no abuse. If we love the way God said. Wow, what a concept. So let's get to the scriptures in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. And he says this, "And you have heard it that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do you not even the tax collectors do this? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay. Now, I just want to clarify this up. I just bypassed. I'm using the New King James because I don't want to mess you up, but some of y'all got NIV, and tonight you got an outline. And I decided to use the New King James because it goes into a little bit step further of how to love. And you're going to see it, and you got an outline. You can go through that. But it's the same thing. It's there, guys. It's in Luke and everything. So just bear with me. So the thing is this. First of all, let's take it from the top. In verse 43, the real meaning of the law, he said, you have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what they were saying. You have heard it said. It didn't say it was written. And that's what they said. They added to the law. But let's just take this, because I want to know, we're talking about loving people. And I want to take the intensity, the drive of this. How does that look to love your neighbor? How does that look? It says, as yourself. How do you love yourself? Well, we love ourselves. Now, it's not talking about that kind of love that you look in the mirror and you say, you are so good. Man, you're hot. No. It's not that kind of selfish love, okay? It's talking about another kind of love. A love that it's a drive that's sincere, that will do anything. That will sacrifice. Will go through any obstacles. It's the kind of love, let's just say for instance, just to get this picture, it's the kind of love that say one day you don't feel so good, and you go to the doctor and they say, man, we're going to have to run some tests. And, you know, they run all these tests, and finally a week later they say, yeah, we got the results. Come on in, we got to talk to you. And they tell you, guess what? You got a terminal disease. And your response is, well, everybody's got to die sometime. Is that your response? No! What you do, you go with the intent and the drive that, man, what can we do to make it right? What can I eat? What are the procedures to get it right? But we're going to overcome this. You see the intensity, the drive? That's what we love yourself as your neighbor. And God has called us to love our enemies. And sometimes when it comes to our enemies, well, he didn't take it. That's it. Forget it. We're done. Stick a fork in me. I'm done. And we give up. But God says, no, take that same intensity, that same drive that you got, and take it to them and love them. I want you to understand something, loved one. It's the love of God that's going to change this world. And the question is tonight, are you going to be consumed by it and allow it to overflow and let it be displayed in this world, wherever you're at? There's some people in here tonight that have enemies. And some of them may even be relatives or close to you at work. And let me tell you, you need to make it right. These people need to see the love of Jesus in you. Can you do that? So they said, we got the drive down, and he says, and hate your enemy. Well, let's talk about our enemies. Who is our enemy? The Bible says that, and the word enemy is hostile, hate, hateful. Okay? Who is your enemy? Who do you hate? Let's be honest. There's so many things. They say, well, it's the person that hurt me. It's the person that broke my heart. It's the person that you know what, that's living this sinful lifestyle. The person that's committed this sin towards me. You know, in the biblical days, the outcasts of society were those that were lepers. The lepers would come into the city and say, unclean, unclean. And man, then you had to clear a room, buddy. They would clear it. They'd just leave it, leave crumbs out there for them to eat. In today's society, there's some lepers among us. We need to be loved. Some homosexuals. People teach to continue to hate them, the Bible is loving. The pedophiles, you love them and reach out to them. And how about the people that proclaim truth? You know, at a church, I had a lady come. She goes, man, I hate coming to your church. I said, what? Why? She goes, because you just step on my toes and you tell me the truth all the time. I said, that's God doing it. If you can't take it, let me tell you, God is speaking to you. Receive it. Receive it. Never saw her again. But the thing is it's God's word that wants to transform us. And it's up to us to embrace it and follow through. Listen. So we know these are things that people would say, you know, it's that lifestyle, it's that person that hurt me, it's that person that's committing that sin, it's that person that always tells me the truth and I don't want to hear it. And so sadly, we surround ourselves around people that tickle our ears. See, we need to tell them the truth in love. So, let me ask you this. Can you identify an enemy right now? God is putting somebody that you know that you consider an enemy. Got it? Okay, let's move on. That was verse 43. We're going to move on here. You got an outline. Verse 44 through 47. I put this on there. Loving our enemies as God's children requires two. There's a couple of things there. And like I said, in verse 44, the Bible just, and your NIV, all the translations may just say, just love your enemies, and then it skips down to, and then pray for those that are persecuted. The New King James goes a little bit step further, a little bit more depth, and it gives you some scenarios, and I chose this because sometimes we take that word love loosely and say, well, I'm praying for them, and that's good enough. It's not. Okay? It's not. God wants to see it. So, in the New King James, it says this, it says in verse 43, it says, but I say to you, love your enemies. And we covered that. So, verse 10, it says, love with truth. We need to love with truth. And here's how we do that. There's some scriptures that I want to bring out to you. At first, in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, and most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sin. Did you get that? It means that, you know what? That enemy, or that sin, or that pride might be right in your face, and it's our job to overlook that. Overlook that with love. And I love him so much, I'm not going to allow this to come between me. I'm going to continue to love that individual. And did not Jesus do that for us? The Bible says, even when we were yet sinners, even when we were his enemies, he loved us. And I tell you, that's the drive that God wants us to. Listen, overlook that. But there's balance in that love. That's why I said love and truth. Well, what kind of love are we talking? We're talking about agape love. The Bible talks about agape love, and it's 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And we all know this. People will read this in weddings and things, but it applies here. This is the kind of love that God is talking about. Love is patient, kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It's never glad about injustice before. Rejoice whenever the truth wins out and endures through every circumstance. That's what love is. You mean to tell me that you want me to love my enemy like that? No, I'm not. The Word of God is. It's the Word of God. And He wants us to love that way. And I realize, loved one, that it's not that easy sometimes. And I would say 80% of the time, it's not easy, it's because self is in the way. We've allowed bitterness and hate to get in our hearts, and we won't do it. I want to give you an idea of how you can maybe put a little twist on it to help you love your enemy. Jesus said in the Word of God, He says, I've come to set the captives free. Now, those of you that are in the military, how is it different that if you see somebody as an enemy, but then you see somebody as a captive, there's a whole different thing there going on. Because when you see an enemy, a defense system goes up, and we're unable to love. But when we see somebody as captives, as man, they need help. And I'm there to help them. I'm going to do everything that I can to reach for them. And that's how Jesus saw us. He was a captive. Jesus set the captives free. And that, I want you to get that mentality that we need to see them as captives. You see? That's the love. Now, love and truth. And here it goes in Romans 12:9. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Did you get that? Here it is, right here. God calls us to love people, but it does not mean to throw away truth. Okay? God wants us to love in truth. Let me tell you something about love. If you love with all, just love, nothing but love, and people do this all the time, it's heresy. Because you've thrown away truth out of the window. But when people love with all truth and no love, it's brutal. And people think of it as a clanging noise, and man, but when we love with truth in God, that's the way God loved us. You see, He says, hey, love them, really love them, and stand on the good side. And you know, the thing is that we have got to do that. You see, the thing is, and I've said this before, that God's love is not a pampering love. It's a perfecting love. It's a perfecting love. And for us just to love somebody and throw away the truth, that's heresy. We need to love them in truth. Let me ask you something. In your prayer time, have you asked God to make you a channel of love? Have you really cried out to God? I said, Lord, there's this individual, man, give me a heart for them. Because your heart ain't good enough. Your love is going to fall short all the time. They're all going into the short jokes. But nevertheless, your love will fall short. And that's why He called us. Love in Christ. With His love. The agape love. With His Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 44, it said that now, it jumps down on your translation, but in verse 44, in the New King James, it says this. It gives us some scenarios. So the first one is, we love with, that was weak, guys, come on now. Are y'all awake? We love with truth, okay. There's gonna be a test after this, okay, so be sure to write them down. Open book test. Next thing is this. In verse 44, in the New, King James, it says, and bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Second thing is this. Love with kind words. That word bless there in the Greek means to, it's a soft spoken word. It's not something that man, you just lash out at somebody when they curse you. It's words of encouragement. To man, how can you encourage somebody when they're cussing you out? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Seeing them that they're captive, that they don't know no better. And above all, that you love them. That's what it boils down to ultimately. You love them. See? He says love with kind words. And what happens is that we refuse to retaliate. In 1 Peter 3:9 it says this. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do. And He will bless you. You see that? He says, hey, bless them with a blessing. I got a story about that you know, I worked at a job and they dispatch work. And it can be kind of, you know, people can have, favorites and what happens is this individual was really favoring certain people and I was starving. And I was getting so mad and you know, it's like, man, this dude's making my life impossible. It's Lord, that you see what's going on. Please do something. It went on for a while and they actually caught him doing that and he straightened up for about a week and then he stopped and they went back to the old ways again. And then I came across this scripture that says, pray for your enemies. I pray for a blessing. I said, Lord, bless that man. Bless him. And a month later, he got moved to another job as a manager and somebody else came in that didn't know nobody, didn't have favors, and everything worked perfect. See, but we can get all wound up. But God says, bless your enemy. Bless them. Speak encouraging words to them. Speak encouraging words to them. See, what blessing have you given your enemy lately? Have you given your enemy any blessing? Or have you turned evil for evil? Now, I didn't do that, but I did turn around and walk out of the room. I just couldn't stand it. I want you to understand something. And these principles here, we're going to leave tonight. And some of us have enemies and He's going to test you this week. And I want you to understand, get a picture in our mind. When that enemy comes and that hate and all this comes and it's there, The thing is, the stage is set. The spotlights are on the stage. And it's waiting for the love of God to show up. Will it show up to do the right thing, to speak blessings? To love in truth? Will it show up? Or it will be just like anybody else. Just walks away and says, nope, not today. See, God wants us to learn. Not only that, but it brings us to another thing here. He says, bless those who curse you. We love with kind words. We love with truth. And the next thing he did there, he says, do good for those who hate you. What? Do good to those who hate you. What do you mean do good? I mean, they deserve what they're getting. I mean, no, the Bible says to do good to those who hate you. It does that. You see, one thing about love, love is an action. Here's the thing. God wants us to love with sacrifice. God wants us to love with sacrifice. He says this in Hebrews 13:16. He says, don't forget to do good and to share what you have with those in need. For such sacrifices are very pleasing to God. And God wants us to love with sacrifice. In Romans 12:20, he says, instead, do what the scriptures say. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And if they are ashamed, this will make them ashamed. Now the translation there says that coals will be on their head. When we do good to somebody, and you know, they've been rotten to you, they've cursed you, they've talked about you, they just done everything they could in the book, and you see your enemy over there that has a need, maybe ain't got no food, they ain't got no present for Christmas, and man, God is saying, go get you something and take it to that person and bless him with that gift. I guarantee that speaks volumes. They will never ever see God's love more than ever when you do these principles here. Like, wow. And it brings down these walls that bend, these strongholds you wouldn't believe. But the thing is, are we willing to love them that much? That's going to come back down to you. First Thessalonians says this in 5:15. It says, see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and everyone else. Are you trying to, is that your attitude? That, man, I'm going to do good to everybody. It doesn't matter. I'm going to try and do good to everybody. Someone once said this, pay evil for evil is devilish. When we pay evil for evil, it's devilish. When we pay good for good, it's human. But when we pay good for evil, it's divine. Only the love of God can do that, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, have you identified any needs that your enemy has? It may just be a phone call. How are you doing? You see, God wants us to reach out, love our enemies. Then the next one is this. So we know we're going to love with truth. We're going to love with kind words. We're going to love with sacrifice. And the fourth one is this. He says, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. We're going to love with prayers of forgiveness. This is very important. I could have put on there, we're going to pray for their salvation. We're going to pray for peace. And those are great. We do need to pray for them. But let me tell you something about an enemy. If we have an enemy, there's something in us that shouldn't be there, and that's hate. That's why he's our enemy. And the first thing that we need to pray for is forgiveness. Oh, God, forgive me for hating this individual. And then once we get past, we can pray, Father, forgive them, for they don't know not what they do. Listen, in Colossians 3:13 says this, you must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who's offended you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Sometimes, you know, we forget about that, don't we, sometimes? When that enemy's in our face, we forget that God forgave us. We need to remember that. It is so easy. Jesus demonstrated that and modeled that very good on the cross when he said, in Luke 23:34, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you prayed for your enemy? When was the last time you prayed for your enemy for them to be saved? Or when was the last time you prayed for your enemy that you said, "Lord, give me an opportunity to meet their needs, to love on them, to give them a kind word"? You see, it's this kind of love that God is talking about, that, man, we need to love. The problem is, self gets in the way. Self gets in the way. He goes on in the scriptures here. He switches gears here. In 45 and 47, this is Jesus. He says, "That you may be sons of the Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Don't even the tax collectors?" Now there's a couple of things. It repeats tax collectors, and yours, it may be, your translation may be pagans. And basically, let me tell you about the tax collectors. They were considered the scum of the earth. These guys would collect taxes from the Roman, and they would go and fill their own pockets with them. And that's why they were hated. I mean, they were hated. And I really believe that's why Jesus got Matthew to come and said, "Follow me." And I could just see the disciples saying, "You have got to be kidding, man. Not this guy." And I said, "Yeah, this guy. Yes." And so many times we do the same thing. "Not that person. They ain't no way. There's nothing good in them." And that is so wrong for us to do that, because we're not God. Listen. Another thing that he says there. You know, he gives the example. He gives rain. He gives sunshine to the just and unjust. That God's pouring out his blessing on either or. He's not playing favorites. And neither should we. There's no reward in you just shaking or loving the people that you love. What reward is in that? He says, hey, even the evil people do that. The non-believers do that. There's no reward in that. You go shake somebody's hand, only the ones that you know and love. You know, we know that's outside in the world. That's happening. How about in the church? Is that happening in the church too? We know we just kind of get our little clique going, and I'm just going to say hi to the people that I know, and then that's it. I think in our book there of enrollment of joining this church says that we need to go meet people, different people, sit in different places, because we don't want to get complacent. See, he tells them this. So the last part there, we're going to love without partiality. We're going to love without partiality. Believers are to have open hearts, open arms to everybody. You see, showing partiality to someone is showing disgrace, a disgraced attitude that people will feel unwelcomed, and you make them feel little. You belittle them when you do that. And as believers, that should not be going on. You should greet everybody. You know, James talks about that. He says, you know, indeed, it is good when you truly obey the Lord's royal command found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you pay special attention to the rich, you are committing a sin, or you are guilty of breaking the law. Not only that, but God tells us himself that he's not partial. He says, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, and the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and takes no bribe. See, God's all about, man, I love everybody. My door's always open. And that's the way we as believers need to be. We need to leave the door wide open. Come on. Come on. Let me love you. Except sometimes we get discouraged because maybe the words that they say to us, nobody said it was going to be easy. But we always got to go back to the cross. Got to go back to the cross. We put our Lord and Savior. We were in this. We need to love without being partial. Let me ask you something. God is calling us to love people. Love beyond. Love our enemies. You understand that that's when the love of God is on display, especially in those times. When we reach out to those that don't want nothing to do with us, those that hate us, and we reach out. God is calling us tonight to rise up and love unconditionally the way He loved. I mean, it's right here. It's in His love. How important is His love? You may say, well, man, I don't know about that. I mean, I got spiritual gifts and, you know, I don't know. I mean, love, I'll tell you, it's real important. The Bible says in 1 John, that says that if you don't love God, if you don't love, you don't know God. That's what it says. How important is love? Let's go, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 3. The love of God is more important than these loved ones. Paul is telling these guys, because they were all pumped up about their gifts. They were pumped up about the abilities that they had. And he sets them straight. Listen, dude, if you're not grounded in love, if these things are not grounded in love, it's nothing. We're going to go through this here real quickly. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. It says, if I could speak in languages in heaven or on earth, but did not love others, I would only be a meaningless noise, like a loud going gong clanging. You hear that? You can have a gift, a spiritual gift, but if it's not rooted in love, if you're not loving others, it's worthless. It's nothing. Get over it. It's nothing if it's not rooted in God's love. He goes on there. Verse 2, he goes, and if I had a gift of prophecy, and if I knew all mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it be? If I had knowledge, man, if I had the knowledge of all the mysteries and I could tell the future and all this knowledge, it's great. But guess what? Without loving others, it's nothing. It's nothing. God's not going to look at your degrees or your PhDs and say, hey, how much did you love with that? Did you love others? That's what it's going to boil down to. He goes on. He says this. He goes, and if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anybody. If you have faith, say, man, I've got some tremendous faith, man, and I can move some huge mountains. You know that? I can do that through the Word of God, but if you don't have love, if you don't love others, it's worthless. All these gifts need to be rooted in God's love. He goes on to say there, and if I gave everything I have to the poor, I'm going to stop right here. If he gave everything, listen, if you had generosity that you say, man, I got all this money, I'm going to give it all to the Lord. No matter what, I'm going to give it all to Him. But don't have love for others. It's worthless. You can give all you want. There's people that I know that try to buy themselves to heaven and make them feel, well, it's that time of the year and, you know, taxes is coming. I'm going to make my donation to the church and we're going to make this big old check and I know God's very happy with it. Listen, if you don't love, he goes on, he goes, even if I sacrifice my body, that's accomplishment. How about if you say, man, I'm a missionary and I went out there and I did all this and that. I even went to the point I died. But if you didn't love others, it's worth it. Accomplishments. How important is God? It's very important. God tells us that out of all these gifts, it's the gift of love that we need to possess. Change this world. He goes on to verse 48. He says, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That word perfect means to be grown, to be complete. Are we perfect? No, we're only perfect in Christ. That's what we're perfect in. But the ideal here is that there's a goal. that we should strive to be perfect as our Father. Okay? Tell the person next to you, you ain't there yet. Just tell them, you ain't there yet, man. And that's the problem, you see, because we love people that love us back. You see, we love people that love us back, and that's going on back. And we just kind of like, yeah, we're all right. We're loving, man. We're loving. You ain't arrived. Let me tell you something. You got a pulse, if you got breath in your body, you have not arrived. When those two things go, all right. But until then, loved one, you have not arrived, and there's plenty of room to grow. And that's what the ideal is, to be perfect like our Father and to pursue Him. See, we need to pursue the goal of life, and that is to be like our Father, especially in this area of love. This area of love. Listen. In 1 Peter 1, 14 through 17, it says this, and I like this verse. Bush showed it to me Thursday, and I just adopted it. I said, man, I'm taking that one. It says, obey God because you are His children. And don't slip back into the world, the old ways of your doing evil. You didn't know anything better then. Okay, does that make sense? You're going along, the enemy comes, and man, they start cursing at you and all this and stuff. And the old enemy, the old ways, wants to pop up, and it's telling you, man, hey, don't take that from him, man. Get in his face. Tell him back off. Don't leave me up here. Don't tell me that you're not like that. Yeah. We want to just like, man, but we need to, God tells us, guess what? We're a new creature in Christ, man. And he says, listen, don't do that. He said, you know better. You didn't know better back then. In verse 15, he goes, but now you must be holy in everything you do. That means holy. That means separated. Can everybody say separated? We're separated from this world. We're separated from this hate. We're separated. And we got to get that way. A lot of times we think, well, we live under grace and grace gives us a license to sin. That is not true. If we love God, we would strive for that. We would ask forgiveness. It would break our heart when we do sin. Let me tell you something about sin too. It is a freedom, man, I'm saying. If you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. Bottom line. Okay? Remember that. He goes in verse 16, he goes, and for he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. Why am I holy? Because he's holy. And if he's my Father, I'm going to have the same characteristics he has. And that's loving people. The question then is, are you a follower of Christ? Have you made that commitment in your life? Because that's where it starts. You can't start loving people until you give your life to Jesus Christ. Because like I said before, your love and my love will always fall short. You see, the problem is with our love, it's a performance love. I love you if, I love you when. When we say that word, I love you, it's because we're communicating that, oh, you're doing this for me, you're doing that for me. But this agape says, man, I love you no matter what. Even if you hurt me, I love you. That sacrificial love that God is at. He says this in 17, he goes, and remember that your heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites when he judges. No favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in the reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners here on earth. Get that? God has no favorites. He's going to judge us according to what we do. What were you faithful with? Were you faithful with those enemies that were in your way? Did you reach out to them? Did you love them? Did you turn your back on them? Say, you know, when we turn our back on what we're saying, you're not worth it. Wow. I'm glad God didn't do that for me. I'm glad He didn't do that. There's many people in this world who are dying for a piece of bread. But there's more people dying for a little love. God is calling you tonight to love your neighbor, to love the enemies. Do. We're going to pray. This altar is going to be open. You're welcome to come. You want me to pray with you? I'll pray with you. But you're welcome to come and just make things right. Let me tell you something. On forgiveness, as long as you and I harbor unforgiveness in our heart, the love of Christ will never be reproduced in our life. Did you get that? It will never be reproduced as long as you and I have unforgiveness in our heart. Let's deal with it. Let's get on with it. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word tonight. Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would move, Lord, that it would draw people to you, Lord. And I just want you to know, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight's the night. You can take care of that tonight. Maybe you're a believer and you're here and you say, yeah, I got some enemies. They're even related to me. God is calling you to love them. God is calling you to forgive them and love them unconditionally as He loved you. The Bible says that that's the kind of love that we will be known for. It's when we love like that, it proves the existence of God. Can you do that tonight? Father, I just ask that you would move as only you can. We thank you. We thank you for loving us. Jesus' name, I pray.